Pirkei Avos, the first parak, the first Mishnah, and the last part of the Mishnah. So the third thing is to make a siag of offense to the Torah. So now what's the idea here? The Rabbeinu Yonah says a very, very important idea here. Let's read it. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Ki'inin shenema, like that which is said, Mushmautem, you should guard. This is a pasuk in Vayikra. Ushmautim et mishmarti, you should guard my guardings. Kloma, in other words, says Rabbeinu Yonah, Asu mishmeret mishmarti, make a guard to that which I told you to guard from. Vasiyag hu davar gadol, you should guard what I told you to guard from. That's the Divrei Torah. Right? So you make a guarding of Divrei Torah. That means it's something which guards you from coming close to doing Averis. Umshubach lasot, and praiseworthy to do siag, a fence for geder le mitzvahs, and a guarding of the mitzvahs. Lebal yuchal likashel b'hem, so a person doesn't come to make a mistake in them. Now, that's what, when the Chachamim see something, why is it an important thing, an idea? I'll give you this. There's a machlokas. There's a machlokas between Maimonides, the Rambam, and Nachman, who's the Ramban, as what's the koach of Chachamim? What's the of making offense? Everyone says we learn it from Lo Tasu. The Chachamim have a koach to make Isurei Derabbanan or even Mitzvahs Derabbanan, like Hanukkah and Purim. They have the koach to do that. They have the ability to do that. That we come from the pasuk. But there's a difference. Yeah, but there's a difference in understanding between the Rambam and the Ramban. There's a difference in understanding. The Ramban says that all Divrei Kabbalah, all Divrei Chachamim, all the words of Chachamim are asmachta la Torah. That means they're really in the Torah, and Chachamim who understand the Torah see them in the Torah, and they pull them out and they enact on them. Okay? So if that's the case, says the Ramban, that Beikah, even Divrei Chachamim are Ke'en Divrei Torah. Because it's still the Rotzen HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ah, the Derabbanan. Ah, there's a difference. Sofik Derabbanan Lekula. Sofik Derabbanan is Lekula. A Sofik Deraisa Lechumra. We go to Lechumra. There are differences in Divrei Torah and Divrei Chachamim. So, what's the reason? Not everything in the Torah the Chachamim pulled out and made into a Derabbanan. Rather than each generation, Kivyochel, everything's in the Torah. Kodesh Baruch Hu leaves it up to the Chachamim to make these enactments based on the generation. If they see the generation falling in a certain way, they'll go into the Torah and the seas from the depths of the Torah what enactments are necessary for this specific type of Avera. And they'll pull it out from the Torah. That's the Divrei Chachamim according to the Ramban. It's all in the Torah, just to pull it out from there. According to the Rambam, Maimonides, no, Chachamim have the koach to do whatever they want. Because they are Tzelem Elohim, they're created in the form Kivyachol of Kodesh Baruch Hu, and they're the people who understand fully the Torah. So they understand the Rotzon of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Therefore, their Svara, their understanding, is Me'ein the Rotzon of Kodesh Baruch Hu. I the Svara of the Chachamim, the understanding of the Chachamim, there is the Svara of Kodesh Baruch Hu. Like you said, when you're learning Gemara, when you understand things, you're understanding Svara Lamalikra. If you have a Svara, if you have a good understanding of the Torah, what are you the Pasuk? You can understand it through your own thinking. And because we're created with Tzelem Elohim, our thinking is Ke'en, the thinking of Kodesh Baruch Hu, when we're in tune to Kodesh Baruch Hu, not when we're in tune to our desires and our own personal things. So the Chachamim who are in tune to Kodesh Baruch Hu can, through Svara, say things. That's the difference. So because of the Shorish Harishon, the first Shorish of the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs, there's a big machlokas between the Ramban and the Bahag. And the Ramban defends the Bahag. The Bahag says that one, like we have what's called Tariag Mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs. We have more than 630 mitzvahs, but we have 613 shoroshim. How do you say shoroshim? Roots of the mitzvahs. Right? We have thousands of mitzvahs. We have 613 roots that from all these mitzvahs come from. And we have 10 roots, which are called the Ten Commandments. That all the 613 come from those Ten Commandments, right? And then those Ten Commandments come from where? Right? That God is one, right? Ultimately. These are all emanations of the same source. So there's a piyut of one of the Gaonim who show how from each one of the Ten Commandments come all the 613. But let's go back now. So now says the Bahag that Halel and Mikra Megillah and reading the Megillah on Purim, which are both the Rabbanan, are part of the 613. Says the Ramban. Maimonides, how can you say that? They're the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan can't be part of the 613. Right? So the answer the Ramban gives is that their shorish is in the Torah. Since the shorish is in the Torah, the source is in the Torah, they can have the din of the Doraisa. Right? Whereas in the Rambam, the Shorash isn't in the Torah. The Shorash is from Chachamim. It's man's understanding or man's enactment. Or through Nevuah, like Megillah, through Nevuah, whatever it is. Or Knesset HaGadol, whatever it is. It's still the Sfarah of Chazal. It's not the Torah itself. So therefore it can't be part of the 613.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a Machlokas, Rabbi Tracy explained, there's a Machlokas in the Rambam. Maimon in Rambam. In the Kedav Adar Rishon. The Kedav Adar Rishon, according to the Rambam, was a chet in terms of man wanting to understand God through man's own endeavors, his own knowledge, right? So he ate from the etatas because he felt that he could understand God, right? Through himself, and that was a mistake. But now the pursuit of man is through his knowledge to understand God. That's my mom. Nachman, he's a Ramban, was that he wanted to understand God's will, right? But he wanted to understand God's will through his own endeavors. Not God's will. So he ate also to understand God's will through his own endeavors. It's a similar thing, but it's his will. So according to the Rambam, Maimonides, right? Man, through his own knowledge, wants to understand God. So therefore, man's knowledge is godly. According to Ramban, God's will. Man can only understand his endeavors through God's will to understand God. That means he's through the Torah, which is the expression of God's will, ultimately he's going to understand God. Now, the external world, according to both of them, is expressing God's will, or God's rotzen. But it's a chitzonius. According to the Ramban, why waste your time? Everything's in the Torah. The Torah is a blueprint for the world. It's Shmosav Shekodesh Baruch Hu, the tachlis, the purpose of the world. If you understand the Torah, you understand the whole of reality. So man's endeavor is going to be in Torah. According to Nach Maimonides, right, the Rambam, man has knowledge because he created the Selam Elokim. He has the ability of understanding the world. Of course, the primus of God's knowledge, which is the Torah, inner internal God's knowledge is the Torah. But the external knowledge of the world can also bring you there, right? So too in the Ramban, the external will expression can bring you there, but it's very, very different, right? You have his will, why look there, right? Similar to the Ramban, but it's a different form of understanding of the world, you understand? Okay, now, according to the Ramban, when a person studies the physical world through an endeavor to understand, with man's knowledge, the endeavor to understand God, he can. That is, in a certain sense, a mitzvah. He is understanding God's reality. He studies physics, he studies mathematics, whatever he studies, right? Philosophy, psychology, right? With the endeavor to understand God, right? So he's doing it's a religious pursuit. Whereas according to Ramban, it can also be a religious pursuit, but it's like a little bit of waste of time because you cannot understand the full rotzen. The rotzen's revealed in the Torah. Even according to Maimonides, the ikar knowledge, the main knowledge, the inner knowledge is in the Torah, right? But it's also there in the world. According to Nachmanides, the rest of the knowledge in the world is just an emanation of his will from the Torah. Yeah? So, they're not arguing so much, but there's a difference in their approach a little bit, yeah. His will in the external world is closed away, it's behest upon him, and the Torah is revealed. Whereas knowledge is something everywhere. You could, the word for emuna, the word for belief, is a word of uman. Uman means a craftsman, right? When you see an ant, and you see the craftsmanship in an ant, or an eye, or anything, or the hair on the eye, have you ever thought, why is it like round? Why is it thicker here, or the way it's done? It's an amazing thing. Just the eyelashes on the eye, right? Why is it curled that way? Why is it not straight out?
So you can see.
No, because if it was like, if you say it was straight out, right? When you close your eye, it would go into your eye. So they made it curled like that. So when you close your eyes, right? It doesn't go into your eye. It's like, it's like sticking out. And also, why don't they get intertwined with the eyelashes down here? Look how many eyelashes you have down here and up here. You close your eyes. They don't, if they were straight, it would interfere. Here they curl up so they never touch each other. They're simple things we don't think about. It's an amazing thing in the eye, right? So, evolution made it that way. Okay, maybe yeah, maybe no, right? But I never saw a fruit fly or amoeba turn into a person, right? Even after billions and billions of years, right? Right? And no one yet has done that scientifically, and I think it's a big problem with evolution. But okay, let's not have a discussion now. You see in the world, the craftsman, that's what gives a person emunah. And forget, you know, like whenever you see something, you know, like if you study the depths of reality, like you study string theory, quantum mechanics, whatever you're studying, right? Now it's string theory, right? You see how very simple ideas have tremendous consequences. Mm-hmm. Like just to say that every particle is a little string that vibrates, and now you can work out all the elementary particles. That's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. That's mind-boggling. And that these string theories only work on a 10-dimensional, right? And a 26-dimensional, right? Why? And they only work there. And then one of them's gravity, and one of them's the rest of the particles. And all these other, you know, we don't live in 26 dimensions or 10 dimensions, they're like smaller dimensions. And from those smaller dimensions, you get a different type of topology, which you can then get all different charges or different types of things which exist in reality. It's a very creative idea. From a simple idea, why do simple ideas produce such complicated things? Why? And remember, maths, if anyone studies maths and physics, especially maths, is just taking the world. It's not that someone thought a new idea that didn't exist. They take ideas in the world, and then they, what do with them? They abstract them. Set theory. It's an abstraction of sets. But it's an abstraction. It's man's abstraction, man's mind, man's thinking, which you said is God-given. Right? So it's an abstraction. That abstraction now becomes the depths of physics, the understanding of physics with it. That's an amazing thing. Why is that? Because man's understanding of the world is real, the reality. It's God's understanding. He's understanding God. He's understanding how God placed these things in the world. He's abstracting God's thoughts. You understand? You can't think of something that's not in the world. You can't think of a new idea that's not in the world. All you think can only be an abstraction of what exists in the world. So they have knot theory, because it's based on knots, right? They have topologies based on many dimensions, because they have three dimensions or four dimensions, I'm going to say, in the world. So they can think of 10 dimensions, or they can think of infinite dimensions. But it's a constant that exists in the world. It just minds an abstraction of the idea that creates the mathematics. And then that mathematics becomes useful in the physical world. How comes? That's an amazing thing if you think about it. It's really a depth of understanding the world, a depth of abstraction. And then that becomes the depths of the reality of the world. If man's understanding of the world was remote from the world, it shouldn't be a vessel to understand the world. If you understand something, and your understanding comes from the world, if your understanding is different from the world you created in, it's completely different ideas from what you see, or you thought something which doesn't exist in the world, your idea shouldn't then represent something in the world. All mathematics, right, is used later on to represent something in the physical world. Why is that? Because the abstraction of man's thoughts in the world is man's thinking is God's thinking. His ability to abstract is something that was given to him by God. You understand? So there's his abstraction is also godly in that sense. You with me? So then it makes sense that now you can take that abstraction and apply it to the physical world, which is God's world. Man can make mistakes, but usually when man doesn't have personal things associated with him, he just has a thought with no personal internal strife about it, he's not going to make a mistake. If man wants to decide, right, to, you know, should I do this or should I do that, and this has a benefit for him and this doesn't have a benefit from him, right? So he might go after that which is beneficial to him, even though it's wrong. That's called an avera. But when man's ideas have nothing to benefit him, so to speak, it's just to understand the concept, so then man doesn't have any negias, any personal issues with the understanding of that concept. And it'll come to a proper understanding.
But that's exactly what...
Science is an approximation of the reality of the world. It's a model. It's making models. It's always an approximation. You can never fully understand God's will. So it's, whatever scientist you are, whatever level you're going to get to, you're never going to understand that fully. So you're making an important comment. You're saying that sometimes if you're studying, say, maths or physics or whatever, you're studying a very minute thing. Are you studying the leg of an ant? Or you're studying some obscure thing in string theory, right? And you might spend your whole lifetime working out that mathematical problem or that physics problem, what it is. And you can just go off on a tangent. And you miss, right, the forest for the wood, so to speak. It's true and not true. There's a lot of truth in that. And a lot of people do that in maths and physics or whatever. And they spend it. But if a person has the intention of understanding God's world, the deeper he takes one idea and understands it, he sees the amazing connections, amazing the way things work, that will bring him to a closer concept to God. Now, obviously, if he spends that time learning Torah, which is God's will, or God's knowledge, which brings the Rambam, revealed, of course he's going to get a closer idea. Of course he's going to get a bigger picture. Of course he's going to be quicker and more palatable to him spiritually to understand the world. Because it speaks about specifically God's will. You're talking about it in that way. And there's less of a chance to make a mistake. But even in Torah says the Mesirat Yesharim. This is the beginning of the Mesirat Yesharim, which you've all learned. Even in Torah says the Mesirat Yesharim, you can learn it like mathematics and physics. Yeah. And you can learn it like a chokhmah. And he says, miut, small are the people who learn Torah for Yirat Shamayim and Dveikus with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, coming close to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, when you're learning Gemara, you have to also not learn it for the idea, for the sake of the idea. You have to learn it as you learn the Ratzon of Kodesh Baruch Hu and come closer to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So, even in Torah, right, it depends on how you learn Torah. It less depends there than in other things. In other things, you definitely need the intention. In Torah, mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma, even if you're doing the wrong intentions, but you want to come close to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Torah is going to bring you there. Whereas in other things, unless you have the proper intention, you're not going to get there. In secular things, so to speak, in Chochmas Chitzonius. Now, going back to Rabbeinu Yonah, so it says, so what's the siag of the Torah? What's these fences of the Torah? And we said that that's in order to make a fence, it has to be an understanding of the people and an understanding of the Torah and where to make those fences. So that's why it's left up to the Chachamim, especially the Sanhedrin, who the body of the brilliant, most brilliant minds in Klal Yisrael, to make those decisions, right? And the biggest tzaddikim. You can't even have a brilliant mind, and that brilliance has to be expressed in actions. So it says as follows. Okay. Vayira edva Hashem, someone who fears God. Right? L'chein ha-mekayim, right? L'chein ha-mekayim et divrei chazal, someone who keeps the words of chazal. Shem siyagim l'mitzvahs, those offense the mitzvahs of the Torah. Chivev ha-yira, it's dear to him the fear of God. Right? Why? Because he's frightened from doing the Avera of the Torah, so he keeps himself away. If you're frightened of the Avera, you keep yourself away from the Torah, from the Avera. Mimish osa mitzvahs atzma. From that person who does the mitzvah itself and nothing else. He has more Yirat Shemayim. Ki ein asiyat hamitzvahs hochacha leYirah. Doing the mitzvahs isn't a proof of Yirah. But keeping yourself away from possible Avera is a raya that you have Yirat Shemayim, your fear of God. Kamo hashomer asiyagim, someone who keeps the derabbanans, the siyagim of the mitzvahs, shunisa mitchila, he's careful from the beginning, shelo yavi ledei pshiyah, he won't come to negligence, right? Acha, osa mitzvahs, eino mekayim asiyag, someone who does the mitzvahs, but doesn't keep those things that keep him away from the averas, right? Mareh lanu, it shows us, ki im yetiv beinav lasod the mitzvahs, it is good in his eyes to do the mitzvahs, right? He'll do them. Va'al yirah beinav, and it won't be so bad in his eyes in Yivshaba if he's negligent. Because if it was so bad in his eyes that he would do a transgression, he'd be careful to keep away. How do you know if a person's careful about his life? If a person looks after himself, right? He looks after himself, you know, properly. If a person, you know, he goes jumping over, you know, like tightrope walking or stuntman and stuff like that. Stuntman, maybe they're very professional, I don't know. But if you ask me, that person's not so careful about his life. His life's not so important to him. You can get killed in those things. I wouldn't take a fraction of a risk, chas v'shalom, of my life. You know, even these, what's it called, these bungee jumps, they jump from a cliff, right? You know, most people get out of there, you know, safe. I'd be scared of my life to do such a thing. Why wouldn't I risk my life, even a little bit? I mean, I know there's a tremendous feeling of feeling alive, right, when you come close to death, right? Or the tremendous exhilaration. But you know, I can get that by learning a Daf Gemara. I don't need to jump from a cliff. You know what I'm saying? Your life is too dear to risk for anything. The only things you can risk your life for is maybe to save another person, or, you know, like, I don't know, something which is a very high level. If chas v'shalom someone asks you to serve idols or do certain averas, or three averas, yeah? Like kill another person or do an illicit relation, right? Then you're allowed to give your life off. Because you're giving for a kiddush Hashem, to sanctify God's name. But not for, we don't take chances with our lives. Life is the most dear thing that Rosh Baruch Hu gave to us. Because with our life, I can sanctify his world. I can be a light to the nations. There's a big purpose for me being here. Life is very dear to me. You know, I'm not going to give my life off for a piece of whatever. Some people do. Some people, you know, a lot of people spend their whole day working 24 hours a day just to get a little salary. I'm not saying they're doing it because they want to have a nice Jewish family and stuff like that. That's a different sort of purpose. But they're just working for the sake of working, to have money, to enjoy themselves and eat a bit more and sleep a bit more. That's life. That person respects life. You know, you give a cow a little bit of food and he eats more food and eats more food and he sleeps at night and has more food. That's living like a cow.
So,
the imyif shava, if he goes across this transgression, lifrot's parents, to go across it, to go across this fence, lo chash b'pnei, and he's not wired because of fear of God. The parents get ishkuru nachash. Someone who goes against the gedarim of the Torah, he will be bitten by the nachash, by his yetzahara, the snake here. The words of the rabbis are foundations and trees to Yirat Shemayim. You remember how Mesirus Yesharim starts? Shoresh ha'avoda hatmima. Right? Shoresh, the yisod, and he spoke about foundations. We have both things. Foundation, which is the building block, and the shoresh, which is ilan, and it grows from you. Yirat Shemayim, it's the beginning of a person. It's the beginning and the end of a person. how a person, right, fears his creator. Fear means an awe. That means if God told, if someone important, if you went to a doctor, a big doctor, and he told you, you're allergic to Y. And if you get close to Y, you're going to be ill for 3 weeks. You make sure you don't get any close to it. Like if you're allergic to, say, peanuts, right? Not only you're not going to have peanuts, right? Anything which says on it might contain traces of peanuts, you're also not going to have, right? Even though they don't have any peanut ingredients. That's why, you know, these companies, even though there's no peanut ingredients, but it's made in a factory which has peanuts, so it might be the smell of the peanut, there might be the, it was cooked peanuts on that beforehand, whatever, right? They write, might have small traces of peanuts, because they don't want to be sued. But you're going to be very careful. If it says that on the thing, you're not going to eat it. You're going to be careful about it. You're going to be, you don't have to. He said, just eating peanuts is bad for you. You don't really need to. I didn't have to worry about those things. But you are. Because you're frightened of what the peanuts are going to do for you. Right? Same thing. When a person has fear of doing an avera, he's going to keep himself well away from it. Because he believes that that's problematic for him. He believes this is what Rosh Baruch was telling him is bad for him. So you're saying the peanut's something very tangible, very clear. Yira comes from the word ro'eh. Same, right? To see something. When you see something clearly, it's tangible like the peanut, then you have Yira Shamayim.
But it's Yira. We'll see.
We'll see, yeah. When you will see, because there's always more to see. There's a depth in your seeing. Yerushalayim is also a lashon of Yiru. Yeah, when you see, Yerushalayim represents the seeing of the completion of the world. Here, Kadosh Baruch Hu connects the world, and there's a shleimus in the world. That's why Yerushalayim is a special place, is a special ria of completion, a ria of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us. When you're living in Yerushalayim, there's a different level of living. It's very different from living in the other places in the world. Things bad happen in Yerushalayim, people straight away say, what I did wrong? What's the problem? We'd have to improve. That's how people speak here. Of course, yeah, you have to take, you know, you have to do hishtatus, you have to guard and stuff like that. But people think internally, they don't think externally. What am I doing wrong? You know, yesterday I was in the shul, and one of them said, I don't understand, we should be saying slichas. We should be saying stuff. We should be Torah root. That's how people talk in the base of Medrash. They don't talk, oh, everyone should go around with a gun now. Or everyone, that wasn't a discussion in the base of Medrash. The discussion in the base of Medrash, we need to meet Torah, we need to wake up. That's how people speak in Yerushalayim. It's a different level. It's a different concept. If something happened in, in a different country, there was an uprise or something, people would just speak about the police are doing nothing here and that's what's happening. That's how people speak. You sure that's how people speak? Why? There's the more clarity of what life's about. So now it's saying that Yirat Shemayim, Shehu Ika Ha'olam, V'yesod Hamana, and the foundation of reaching the heights of spirituality. The Kol HaMitzvahs, and all the mitzvahs kulam are parparot elea. That means, like when you eat bread, that which you eat with the bread is the mitzvahs. The bread is Yirat Shemayim. The chokhmah, right, is Yirat Shemayim. Gracious chokhmah Yirat Shemayim. It means the tachlis you created for is to have this Yirat Shemayim. That means in that sense, the Rabbanans are in a sense a higher level than the Raisas. That's what I'm going to say now. V'zeh sham midrash, ki tovim dodecha miyayin. It's more beauty, more good, dodecha, that which sustain me. Dodecha literally is it's more beautiful than your chests, miyayin, than from miyayin. Because milk, the person sustains from his mother's milk, sustains him. Right? Then the yayin of terror. Then the yayin of terror. Chaviv in divrei sofrim. It's more dear, the words of the rabbis, enactments of the rabbis, miyayin shel terror, from the terror itself. Because that sustains you, that gives you Yirat Shemayim. Ultimately, you're the toughest for a person, Yirat Shemayim. That's why the Gemara says, Ki ze kol ha'adam. It's a positive by Shlomo Melech, right? Ki kol ha'olam. the whole world, Nivra B'Shul Zeh, was created for this person, Yerushalayim, because that's the purpose of the world. The purpose of the world is that you have this clarity of God's will and that you want to keep it. And when you have such a clarity, this is good for you and this is bad for you and this is the way you should be going, you're frightened to do those things. There's a fear, there's an awe of coming close to fire. You know, there's a little fire. You see your kids playing with fire, right? A little match. Not a lot can happen with a little match. What happens? They'll go on and they will extinguish, right? But no one allows a little child to play around with match, right? You get nervous. You tell your kids, always have a dialogue, the kids want to play. You tell them to stop it, right? Why? Let them play, let them have fun. It's fun, you know, matches are very fun. For a kid especially. They, right? It's a lot of fun, the flickering, the thing. It's, you know, it's an amazing thing, a flame. Right? But you're scared. Because it might burn them. They might get they might burn themselves, they might burn the house. Anything can happen, right? With a kid. So you're frightened. So you tell them, don't play with matches. Do you understand? When a person realizes where something can go, what the fear of something could happen, the child could burn himself, chas v'shalom, or the house could be burnt, or whatever, or some furniture could be burnt, or could be some catastrophe. So he's very careful about doing things. So when we realize how important the Torah is, we're more fearful of getting near that fear. For us, it's fire. You run away from fire. You don't get close to it. You understand? And that brings a person, try and understand, that it's not only the enactments of Chazal. The Gemara says, by Nazir, that when a person sees Soto Bukul Kula, he sees in the Beis HaMikdash, he sees a Soto. He sees a person who had illicit relations, married woman had illicit relationship. And he saw her. And he saw her being thrown around the Beis HaMikdash. And he saw her bursting out because she was a real Soto. And now he says, go young. You just saw the punishment. You should be someone who's... No, because you saw it was possible. You saw that a person was possible to do this Avera. When you see an Avera being done in front of you, it makes it easier for you to do.
Easier?
Because someone did it. If you saw an Avera being done, or chas v'shalom, a person does an Avera, if he does it once, it makes it easier to do it a second time. If he does it twice, says the Gemara, becomes putra, becomes permitted. It's not even an Avera anymore. You have to be very careful with Averas. It doesn't become such an Avera. We have to like remind ourselves of those things. So that's what it says, Nazir, he was Yazir Atzma Mnei Yain. He separates himself from wine because wine could bring him to that frivolity. You with me? So it's anything that a person has. A person knows his weaknesses. He knows if he goes to this place, he might see things which are bad for him. So keep himself away. Every person knows what's by him at places where he falls. That's Yerushalayim, that he builds his own fences. Now, start with the fences of the Torah. Don't let build our own fences before we keep Torah. After we keep in Torah, then there's dargos of people. You know, there's pre-shulis, this person can keep himself. Yeah, but then a person has to know, because it's also the Yetzirah that tells you stay indoors, don't go out, don't do anything, right? And then it'll make you depressed. So you have to know what to do. Start with the Torah, with what the rabbi said a person should do.